Saying so much of this sermon today really, I'll say, comes off of the most recent pages of my journal. Entitled this message, Love You to Life. It is a little bit of a play on words. We often say, I love you to death. I love you to death. Christ loves you to life. God. So you can find where we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. I'm going to pray, and then we will actually hop into it. Father, thank you. You love us so richly, God, that, and because of your love that we have life, and because of the life that you've given us, that we really can join with the words of the song and not be ashamed to worship the name of Jesus. Jesus, I can say the name of Jesus with absolutely no shame and or guilt or no fear because of the freedom and the life that you've given me, you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you. As we look through and read and dive into this portion of Scripture, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be all over it. Let every single word that I say truly honor and glorify you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I said, if you're like me, you kind of wrestle a little bit with insecurity as well. So when I look in the mirror, it's actually this picture is a great view of how I feel oftentimes. There's something about images like that that are incredibly powerful to me. I told you this message just comes off of like the most recent pages of my journal. I actually haven't written in my journal in a little while. I say journal in a proverbial sense. I've been processing a lot lately. And what I've been processing is a lot of the insecurity that I have lived with. I say that I have lived with, it's actually been most of my life. I struggle as a kid not fitting in. Not feeling like I fit in. I have two amazing parents. I have an older brother who's about 15 months older than I am, and then a younger sister who's about 7 years younger. I have the most extreme case of middle child syndrome you will ever know. I didn't feel like I fit in there, and it wasn't because of them. It was just me. I didn't really feel like I fit into school. We moved around a lot. And while that taught me how to really develop friendships and relationships, I was always kind of finding my new space. Even when I was in middle school and high school and we lived here in Michigan, I just didn't really feel like I fit in. And I was thinking even this morning that it really kind of played out in how I dressed, which is really weird. I didn't really consider it until this morning. Like I remember in middle school, like we had uniforms, so we had to wear black and white. But I remember wanting to wear so much black. Like there was so much of me that just wanted to be covered and wanted me to be not seen because I just didn't really feel like I fit in anywhere. I felt like even as a kid, I couldn't articulate it, but I felt like a square peg in a triangle, like trying to be smashed into a triangle hole. And then in high school, it only got worse. Like I had, you know, I tell people I got hit with a puberty pole. Like it wasn't a stick. It wasn't just your normal, like, I mean, bad acne, bad, like just awkward. I've always felt like a duck. Like it was just bad. And I remember I had a journal then, and I had a whole page dedicated to one pimple. I'm not kidding. Spiral ring notebooks were my thing back then, and I would just fill up pages of everything that was inside of me that I could never really say out loud. I say if you're like me, some people aren't like that, but if you're like me, there's a whole bunch of insecurities that exist inside of you that you never really let come out. high school my journal was at. And it was at 17, I'll tell you, this is recent. I just really realized this about myself. It was at 17 that I decided that I didn't care anymore. I didn't care about not being accepted. I didn't care about not fitting in. And really what I did when I didn't care was I really shut myself off emotionally. I've told some of you that I've been really processing myself emotionally lately because this is a new territory for me. I cut myself off emotionally and really did a great job of pretending to not care, that I didn't feel like I was accepted. It played out in my clothes in several different ways. When I was in my first year in college at Grand Valley, I only wore two colors at a time. I was very disciplined about this, like only two colors at a time. So if I had on blue, I would wear black and blue, or black or blue and white, or yellow and blue, like bright, crazy, nasty colors too, like red and blue. And it would only be two. So I had to have like blue boots, black jeans, blue shirt, blue contacts. I'm not even kidding. And I would also like wear, okay, don't judge me, okay? I was in my I don't care stage. One blue contact, one clear contact, so I could have the appearance of black and blue. I am not kidding. Ask my wife. No. I had do-rags, so do-rags, for those of us who know about African-American hair, you want to press it down so you get the waves. I would wear one blue side, one black side. Like, I'm telling you, it was just, huh? Yeah, that would be great. No photos. No. I'm telling you because I know you love me and I love you, but this cannot get around. No. I covered up my insecurity that way. I don't even know why. Again, it was just that I don't care. I didn't care. So if someone saw it and they didn't like it or they thought it was weird, it didn't matter. I didn't care. Not caring really turned into me not being really connected to myself emotionally. And so as I am learning a lot about myself emotionally, I'm finding this boy. Still very much afraid. And what I'm finding that I'm afraid of is that I don't really like parts of me. This is the truth. One of the things that I struggle with is it's just me. It's not because of history or anything like that. I struggle with the idea of failing. I've said that before. It's not new. But every time I see this, when I look at this picture like this, I looked for pictures this week, and this is the one that just like grabbed me, because that's what I feel like often. And all throughout this time, all throughout my life, I've heard Jesus loves me. Like the song, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. All throughout my life, that was really true. It really was true. I really did love Jesus. I really do love Jesus. The last part of that, though, is the part in complete honesty that I struggled with. Because he first loved me. Who loves a failure? Who loves someone who sees himself so incredibly weak? Who loves someone who sees himself and is afraid? Who loves himself who doesn't really like what he sees in the mirror? Who loves him? Who loves someone who literally wakes up in the morning and chokes down fears so that he can put on a mask, so that he can not deal with the emotions of not being accepted. I'm going to be honest. That is what I wrestled with. And it's a lot easier for me to not think about it, so that's why I didn't care at 17. If you're like me, you have coping mechanisms. And mine was loud clothing. All my life I heard that Jesus loves me more than anything in this world. The challenge is, I didn't really love myself. And the complete honest truth is I didn't really like myself. Can't blame it on anything other than the fact that I just, all of the insecurities that existed inside of me. So, I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey that I have been on in the last few weeks. If you're anything like me, I pray that it speaks to you. We're in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. What shall we say about these wonderful, such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us from God who has chosen us for his own? No one for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. I stopped there. Because I have been taught this from an external viewpoint. If God is for us, who can stand against us? Who can accuse us? Me. Me. I accuse me. I've never read this scripture from the perspective of me accusing me. I've never read this portion of scripture from me standing in the way of God's acceptance of me. I've never really read this portion of scripture from the perspective of no one externally. I get that. No one externally can stand between God and myself. But how often I get in the way of the relationship between God and me. How often I look in the mirror and I don't see the person that God loves because I am afraid to see him. The more I process it, the more I come to the space that I don't like the humility and the vulnerability that it is to not be perfect. I don't like that. It's me. So every single time I walk past the mirror and I see an extra 5 pounds, I realize how imperfect I am and how I failed. I was telling Sam and Lily that I'm working on Spanish. I've been working on Spanish for the last few years. And where I'm at right now, I get the language. I get it. I understand it. But I don't have confidence. And a part of why I don't have confidence, I don't want to look stupid. Like, that's normal. Like, I think we all have that to a certain degree. But I think I carry that around. Personally, I carry it around so much. You said the wrong word. You're an idiot. Like, that's how I feel. Jesus came, lived, died, and rose so that we could be free from sin and we can be free from bondage and we can be free from the oppression. And a lot of times we consider that oppression externally. And today I'm encouraging us to look and see what ways that we are oppressing ourselves. In what ways are we hindering ourselves and building up walls between God's grace and ourselves? Simply because once he's in, he sees how imperfect we are. Once we actually let his love in, he sees how insecure I am. He sees a little boy that's afraid to not fit in. We'll keep it moving. I stopped there, and I'm glad I did, because when I came back in, I was encouraged. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. As it says in Scripture, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. You can find that in Psalms. It says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I was encouraged because I really, 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 really thought, honestly, that covering up myself, hiding myself, not acknowledging the insecurities, not wrestling with the fears, in some ways made me safe. And then also, if I don't see them, then I can also be more acceptable to God. So here's the part where it's trippy, and this is the part where I said I've been wrestling with, and it's just the most recent pages of my proverbial journal. God accepts me in my insecurity, which is not something that I still completely fully understand. He accepts me in my fear. I say stupid words, he still accepts me. I make the wrong decisions, he still accepts me. I don't like me, he still accepts me. God's love is stronger than my dislike for myself. That was just yesterday. God's love for me is stronger than my dislike for myself. God's love and his acceptance of me outweighs my disdain for myself. When I look in the mirror and I don't like how I look, God does. When I make a mistake and I feel like garbage, God still embraces me. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even ourselves. We're good about talking about sin. We're good about talking about slavery. We're good about talking about oppression. We're good about talking about somebody else. But not even I separate me from the love of Christ. Not even I do. Nothing in all of creation. And I'm in all honesty, in transparency, I'm still figuring out how in the world do I live in that. How in the world do I live in this space where I get to actually acknowledge my insecurity? How do I get to live in the freedom of being completely open and not hiding myself, but recognizing that God accepts me in all of my filth and all of my nastiness and everything that I don't like about me, he still accepts me in my awkwardness, in my duckiness, in the parts of that I just don't understand and I feel insecure about? How do I walk in that and not try to cover it up? Because here's the truth. When I try to cover it up, it's not that I'm not embracing God's love. I'm not allowing myself the freedom that he has died for me to have. It's not about God not loving me. He's going to love me regardless of what I pretend to hide from him and everyone else. He's going to love me regardless. Nothing will separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus. However, I can get really good at separating myself from living in the freedom of Christ. If you're anything like me, when you are aware of your imperfections, all you see is dirt. But I have a picture for you. Look at this. You know that face. can't remember how old Josh was on this picture. But he picked out his clothes that day. I'm not, like, no, you can't see the whole outfit, but it doesn't match. On his right arm, he has a bandage from when he ran through the door, we have French doors in our living room, and he smashed his arm through the door, broke the glass, and it was this incredibly bad gash. He's got an amazing scar there. And he was outside in the backyard digging and not just playing in the dirt, but intentionally pouring dirt on his face. Told him to smile, and that's the best that he could come up with. Because he still doesn't really smile that well for pictures. It's so aggressive. And he didn't care. He didn't care that his face was dirty. He didn't care that his clothes didn't match. He didn't care that he's walking around with this bandage from when he broke glass. He doesn't care that he's putting dirt all over his face. He doesn't care that his smile is scary. And you know what? Neither did his father. His daddy doesn't care that his face is dirty. His daddy doesn't care that he has a bandage on his arm. His dad doesn't care that his clothes doesn't match, and his dad doesn't care that he's just been putting dirt all over his face and his smile looks scary. Because the only thing I see when I see him is my kid. That doesn't mean that he gets to walk around with dirt in his face all day, but we just wash it off. Dirt or not, he's still my son. And that's how I'm learning how to live in this space. I told you that at 17, I learned not to care. I learned to ignore. I'm learning now how to not care. When Jesus says that we are to come like little children, I believe it's this. It's not an ignorance, but it's in a carefree state that says that I am embraced by the love of my Father, and it doesn't really matter what I look like, and it doesn't really matter what I know and what I don't know. It doesn't really matter what insecurities are in there. You know what? The truth is, there aren't any, because I don't care. My Father loves me even with dirt on my face. My Father loves me even though I have a bandage on my arm. My Father loves me even though my clothes don't match. And my Father loves me, it doesn't matter what my smile looks like. The adult Chase would be insecure about all of that. And if you're anything like me, so would you. Today's message really is about not standing in the way of embracing God's love for us. Because if nothing can separate us from his love for us, then we need to move out of the way and live in the freedom of it. So something for us to reflect on and act. I actually have a couple of things we're going to do today. God loves you and accepts you. What's standing in your way? You could probably rattle off a list of the insecurities that you have. You could probably name them several. If you're like me, you got a lot in there. Because you feel like a square peg being smashed into a triangle hole. Not even those separate us from the love of Christ. However, they blind us sometimes from the love of Christ. So today, this whole time is about us embracing Christ's love for us. They've got two stations actually. And either one, everyone can participate in. This one over here, though, is a pretty unique thing. We've never done it here before, but I've seen it done at another church. There's some paper, little sheets of paper. You can write them, write on them, whatever insecurity, whatever thing is blinding you from the love of God, that he truly embraces and accepts you, you can write on it. Write that on the paper. Put it in one of the bowls of water, one of the little stir straws. Stir it and just watch it dissolve. I haven't written mine yet. The first time I saw that was so long ago that I wrote pornography on it. And now, the truth is that's so far from my mind. Then the truth is I'm a bit afraid to write down some of the things that blind me from God's acceptance of me. But I'm going to write them down anyway, and I encourage you to do the same, if that's you. Over here, we have we're going to receive communion, and so here's what I would like for you to do. We're going to, do the communion like we would normally do. You would grab, get a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and take it back to your seat. We'll receive it all together. But here's how we're going to do this. If you are going to hop into this station at all, you're going to write anything, I'm going to encourage you to actually do that first. And allow God to use that visual representation of him completely separating us from our insecurities, washing away the things that are inside of us that we have believed would keep us from him accepting us fully. Watch it dissolve into absolutely nothing, because that's how he feels about it. It's not separating us. And then after that, grab a piece of bread and a cup of juice. And if you're not going to do the water thing, which is totally cool too, just go ahead and go straight there. We'll receive the elements together. Also, if you're like me, you need to ask yourself, do you have insecurities inside of you? You have things that are blocking you from embracing and living in the love of God. I have to ask myself this now as I'm becoming more aware of my feelings. What am I feeling? How did I get here? And where is it going? I rehearse those things for myself now. What am I feeling? How did I get here? And where am I going? I've been processing over the last maybe 3-4 weeks. The next 4 minutes may not be enough time for everybody. But as things kind of rise to the surface, I encourage you to allow God to use that to remind you of his unwavering, unlimited love and acceptance of you. So move as you feel led.
Why?
fear, insecurity, self-loathing, what we don't like about ourselves may not be the direct result of a sin that we committed, but they are the result of sin on this planet. So not only did Jesus die to keep me from hurting other people, but he died to free me from my insecurity. He died to free me from fear. He died to free me so that I could look at myself in the mirror and be happy. The literal mirror and the proverbial one. Because if God sees me with dirt on my face and still loves me, then I'm good. Receiving communion today is not, or together is not new. This bread represents the broken body of Christ, and this juice represents the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus. And whenever we do this, we remember his sacrifice for us. Today, I'm remembering the sacrifice. I just said, is not just freeing me from the action of sin, but also the stain of sin that makes me afraid to love me. For real. And as I remember that, I'm also remembering that it is in his resurrection that I am free. It's in his resurrection that I am free to like me as he likes me. Thank you, God, for these, what they represent. Your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Thank you that you have loved us so richly that you withheld absolutely nothing from us. And that you love us so richly that we can boldly declare with Romans chapter 8 that absolutely nothing, period, can separate us from you. Forgive us for how we have in some ways allowed life, fears, and insecurities to blind us of your acceptance. God, we fully embrace your acceptance. Fully embrace that you love us. And also, God, love you even more freely because of it. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. Let's receive these together. I figured out how to make every Easter new. I told the worship team that my prayer was that our hearts would be in such that it was like the first Easter for us. Today I attached something completely different to the cross than I have in the last few years. Jesus was there. He's always been there, but he carried something with him. And I've never attached this to what he was carrying like I did this year. Like I did today. The cool part is he rose without it. It's dead. He's not. It is. And that's what we celebrate. That's what I'm celebrating today. We'll continue our worship now through receiving our offering. Sam's going to help us with the next part.
Good morning, everybody. We'll continue our praise and worship with a receiving of our tithes. Amen. We'll have the ushers come up. You can also use the kiosk in the back. You can also use our app. Did that app work for you, Rachel? It didn't. The website. Okay. So we'll have to look into that. But anyway, you can use the envelopes as well. So we'll have a moment of prayer, and then we'll continue. Thank you, Father, for dying on the cross for us, Father God, for leaving your